on a party, we will party hard.
Good afternoon, NFP Nation. Welcome back to the Cover 2 podcast. I'm your co-host, Matt Bowen, along with Wes Bunting, our director of college scouting, who joins us every Monday afternoon where we break down all the Sunday action for you, give our take, our perspective, and try to avoid as much controversy as we can. But when we're talking about the Raiders and Jamarcus Russell, that's hard to do at times. But let's get into it, Wes. Let's go right into the games. We'll save the Hawks talk for another later. Iowa comes back, beats Indiana. We'll get into that at another time. But let's go out to Baltimore, Wes. I like Denver going into this game because I like their matchups. I thought the Ravens' corners couldn't match up with Brandon Marshall and Eddie Royal. But, you know, something we talked about earlier in the season, you know, this Baltimore game plan with Joe Flacco throwing the ball 40, 50 times and Ray Rice not getting enough touches, that was gone yesterday. You know, Ray Rice gets over 20 carries. Flacco only throws the ball 25 times. They play defense. They basically shut down Orton. They get a big play in the kicking game. This is kind of like what I expect from the Ravens. This is what we saw last year from them that made them so talented and allowed them to go to the AFC Championship game because they played their style of football.
Yeah, I agree. When Ray Rice finally gets 23 attempts to run the football, yards aren't important, as you always say, only 84 yards, but it keeps balance on that offense. Flacco was 20 for 25. That's efficient quarterbacking right there. And when they can keep the ball consistently out of the hands of the opposing offense, give that defense the ability to rush, they can dial up a little more pressure. And all the pressure in the world doesn't fall on the shoulders of Joe Flacco. They don't have the receiving core to consistently throw the ball 30, 35, 40 times a game. And I thought going back, you know, maybe they're listening to the podcast, Matt, but they've got to get the ball more to Ray Rice and even LaRon McClain. I'd love to see this battering ram get the ball more. And once they start doing that, I think this offense is really going to take off, make the defense a little better, and they'll be even tougher to beat.
Yeah, and this is the type of team we expect to see. When they play this football, I'm telling you, this is a team that can compete with Pittsburgh and compete with anyone in the AFC when they play this style of football. You wonder if you go back to the New England game and play like this, maybe it's a different result. Let's go up to Buffalo, Wes. Houston sticks to that game plan we've been talking about. Man, we understand that Steve Slayton's your fantasy guy, and he got benched, and he cried and moaned about it, Wes. But, hey, Ryan Moats comes in. They run the ball like crazy. They kill the Bills, almost have 40 minutes of total possession on offense. That is how you win. That's how Houston is winning. We both know the loss of Owen Daniels is huge. I thought he was, you know, one of the better tight ends in the league and key for this offense, especially when they use their movement passes, their play-action passes. But you look at Houston now, if they can, you know, find someone to step in and take Daniel's spot, they're in a good position right now, Wes. They're 5-3, and they're right in that wild card hunt.
Yeah, well, not only did I lose Steve Slayton yesterday and watch Ryan Moats go for .126 and 3 touchdowns while Slayton gets me 1 point, but I lose Owen Daniels for the year. So a banner day in fantasy football. But I think losing Owen Daniels is a pretty big concern, Matt, considering you look what teams can now do focusing on Andre Johnson. The Texans haven't showed that they have that number two receiver that they can get the ball to consistently without Owen Daniels down the field. So I think you're going to see a need a collective unit to step up. Walter, Anderson, or Jones, all those guys need to step up a bit to make sure that teams don't consistently focus on Andre Johnson, double team him and bracket him to keep this pass game alive. But hey, when the Texans run the football like this and don't force Matt Schaub to consistently throw the ball 50 times a game, like you said, your Texans are right in that wild card hunt. Maybe you'll be going to WrestleMania this year, Matt.
I might win that bet with Lombardi after all. Huge game for them this week that they play Indy. We'll see where they are as a team. But, you know, if they play like this, they can compete with Indy. That's kind of the game plan the Niners had yesterday. So we'll see. You go to Chicago West. I'm sorry, Derek Anderson stinks. The Cleveland Browns stink. That's just the best way to put it right now. Because Chicago didn't play great. They struggled in the red zone. Cutler had an average day. And again, Matt Forte, you look at the end of the day, oh, he had 2 touchdowns. He still averaged under 4 yards a carry. You know, but the Bears get five turnovers because they're playing the Browns. And that's what happens when you play against Cleveland right now. You can count on making plays on defense against their offense. They're that bad on offense right now that you should score 30 points. I'm not sure how you're going to get there, but you should score 30 points because this offense of Cleveland is going to give you the ball and easy scoring opportunities. And the Bears did take advantage of that. But I'll tell you what, looking up at Green Bay and looking up at Minnesota, they're not going to beat those teams when they're not able to run the football.
Yeah, can we get the Brett Ratliff chance started now, trying to get him at quarterback? I mean, just brutal. Anderson, Brady Quinn finally gets back in. He's brutal as well. But like I said, the Bears have not impressed me at all year on offense. When Matt Forte, you look what every running back has done all year against the Cleveland Browns defense, and Matt Forte still can't average 4 yards a carry. I worry about them. The Browns, they're not a threat to anyone when Massaqua and Stuckey, they don't have the receivers, they don't have the quarterbacks to score points. But I'm still concerned about the Browns, Matt. Can their offense bail them out when their defense has to play some of the upper echelon offenses in the NFL?
I mean, that's the question for Chicago right now. Yeah. Is can they do that? Can they make plays like this every week? That's what a Tampa 2 defense is instructed to do. You drop 7 to coverage, you rush 4, and you get their hands on the football. I don't know, Wes. I don't. You know, the verdict's still out for me in Chicago. You know, I love Cutler. I think he has all the tools, but you can't win in this league without a running game. Yeah. You need some help.
And
we'll see.
That O-line's soft, and when the weather gets nasty, Matt, and they're forced, you can't ask Cutler to throw the ball 50 times in the sleet and the hail and the rain that they're going to see down the stretch.
No, you can't.
So.
You can't. It'll be interesting to see. And this is a big stretch coming up for Lovie Smith. He's got some heat on him here in Chicago. We'll see how his team responds. You know, going down to Dallas, you know, Dallas is supposed to win this game, Wes, and they did what they were supposed to do. They're a better football team than Seattle. Like we talked before the show, the emergence of Miles Austin is making this offense just so complete right now. They have the running game. We know they got Barber and Felix Jones. We know Roy Williams is just a tall tight end playing at wide receiver. He's not a game breaker. But Miles Austin is allowing Romo to become better because Romo can get him the ball and Austin can produce yards after the catch. He can make those plays that Roy Williams can't. And you look at this team right now, Wes, where they're sitting. You know, big game coming up against Philly this week, but we got to talk about them as a team that could possibly win the NFC East.
Yeah, I agree, and especially when their defense, like we were talking about before the program, this defense is not one of those bend but don't break defenses that'll make you go 20 plays down the field. This one forces turnovers. They're going to bring pressure. They got DeMarcus Ware. They're going to try to force you to get rid of the ball before you want to, give the offense a short field. And like you said, with Miles Austin now, he's filled in, you know, pretty admirably for T.O. He's the ability to get the ball down the field, and that opens up a lot of room for Jason Witten underneath. We've seen some of the other wide receivers, the Hewards, the Ogletrees of the world, step up these past couple weeks, and Roy Williams is not the answer. Sure, they paid a lot of money for him. Sure, they gave up the draft picks, but if they want to win, they have to play the Austins, the Creightons, the Hewards, the Ogletrees, if they want to get the ball down the field, and because they're going to rely so much on that run game, they can be able to take some shots down the field off the play fake game.
Yeah, and, you know, 3 weeks ago, was it 4 weeks ago because of the bye week, they're sitting, they lost to Denver, and everyone's saying, oh, here we go with Dallas. Romo's not playing well. All of a sudden, he gets a playmaker and wide receiver, and now he looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So we'll see in the divisional games. Those will be huge starting this week, but I like where this team is sitting right now. You know, Wes, we're not going to spend much time in this game, but, you know, I give credit to Steven Jackson and the Rams. This season is a lost season for him. For that franchise, they're not very good. But the guy's still running hard. You know, he runs for $149 yesterday. And if you're Jim Schwartz, this is a step backwards. Because if you're building a franchise, you're building a team in this league, you have to win the games you're supposed to win. Yeah, we can talk about how they're competitive, they're staying in games. But when it comes to playing a team like St. Louis, you have to win that game, Wes. You have to. You're better. They are more talented than the Rams. They have a much more talented football team, and you can't afford to lose at home to the winless Rams.
Yeah, I agree. And with Matt Stafford, he's been out a couple of weeks with the injury and then the bye. He's only 14 for 33. If he's not going to be successful, and granted, you know, some time off, sure, he was rusty, but 14 for 33 against the Rams secondary, you're hoping that the kid, you know, takes a step forward, plays well. They don't run the ball overly efficiently. You thought that they would have a lot of success with the talent they have on offense to really put up some points against that Rams defense. But like you said, Steven Jackson, the guy runs like a man-child through the hole. Yeah. You're not going to stop him. And when he's running downhill, you're going to put some points on the board, even with the lack of talent that they have. But this is definitely a step back for the Lions. Real ugly loss to the Rams. The Lions significantly have more talent than the Rams do. So.
Yeah, and one final thing on that game. Matthew Stafford's got to understand this league. That when you're not 100% healthy, which no one is after eight games, you still got to produce. And I'm sure he wasn't, you know, the knee's not as good as it was in the preseason. That's just how it's going to be. And Calvin Johnson, you got to play when you're hurt sometimes, okay? I understand that you're a little banged up and you're a track star wide receiver, but you have to play hurt in this league. That's one of the things that young players forget to understand is once that first game kicks off, you're never the same for the next 16 weeks. You're just not. You know, get some more massages, get in the cold tub, but you're not going to be the same, but you have to find a way to produce when you're hurt. That's going to be, that's part of the learning curve for those guys. Enough about that game, Wes. Enough. I can't talk about that anymore. Let's go to Indy. The crazy thing about this is Peyton Manning did leave plays in the field. He underthrew some receivers, some of his balls sailed. The crazy thing about it is everyone's saying that Peyton had a rough game. He still threw for 347. I mean, this guy is that good. And, you go over to the Niners. I do like this team more with Alex Smith. I think they're tougher to prepare for as a defensive coordinator. They give you more options in the passing game. They're a more complete team with him at quarterback. But even in saying that, how good would it have been for Alex Smith to win that game, that final drive? You talk about doing that, going on the road, beating an undefeated Colts team, bring your team back to win. Then you start talking about, hey, maybe this is the quarterback of the future. I'm not knocking the guy. He's playing well. This team is playing better with him, but I would have loved to see it.
Yeah, and I agree. I love what Alex Smith did yesterday. The emergence of Michael Crabtree. This guy's consistently getting better and better. Yep. 6 catches, 81 yards. Vern the Duke Davis in the red zone. But the thing that really stood out to me, Matt, I looked at Frank Gore. The guy was efficient every time he touched the ball, had 13 carries for 91 yards, had a big 64-yard run. Why is he only getting 13 touches in a game that's as close as it was yesterday? I mean, sure, they were playing from behind a bit, but you thought that Frank Gore, their bell cow, he's going to consistently run the rock, pound it away. I like their ability with Alex Smith to throw the ball down the field, create more plays in the passing game, but they can't get away from what they do best, and that's running the football, staying in manageable down and distance situations, and then getting the athletic Alex Smith outside the pocket and create some plays down the field. So I expect Frank Gore to get more carries in these coming weeks because they can't rely on the pass game alone to win games, especially and even though you're playing the Colts.
I think that's a case of offense coordinator getting greedy. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time. You saw it last week. He watches the tape and says, hey, man, we could score a lot of points. Look at our passing game. We could get the ball downfield with this quarterback. And you start to forget what got you there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you do have to go back to Gore because he's a top five back in this league. You got to get him the ball. But we'll see. I mean, we'll get to Arizona in a minute, but they're not out of anything. So we'll see what happens. You go out to New York. I'll tell you what. These New York Jets players, they love to talk, don't they? Yeah. Again, today I read about them, not giving the Dolphins really any credit. This is a team that's beaten them twice. And you can say what you want about the Dolphins. They're the most unconventional football team in the National Football League. They run the Wildcat. We saw yesterday they scored 2 touchdowns with Teddy Ginn and kick returns. They get a defensive score from Jason Taylor. They're not conventional. The thing about the Dolphins that we have to talk about is they made a stop in the fourth quarter. How long have we been waiting for that? We saw the Colts game last week against the Saints. They gave that up, gave that huge lead up. But they're down in the red zone. They get a sack on Mark Sanchez, and they play coverage on fourth down to preserve the win. Seeing that happen is a reason why you still have faith in this football team to make a run to get back in that wild card race because they are talented, they are unconventional, and they're damn physical.
Yeah, and the thing with the Jets is it's time to shut up. Like, it really is. Sure, they were the better football team. There's no doubt about that yesterday. I mean, Sanchez had a pretty good game. They ran the ball efficiently. Defensive kept Henny in check. I think he threw for just over 100 yards. Ricky and Ronnie, they both had 27 yards rushing. There's no doubt that the defense slowed down that Wildcat offense. But you lost. You didn't find a way to win. And, we can talk about all the numbers that we want, but they need to play better football. They need to find a way to win. And they're 4-4 right now. They're right in the thick of the wild card race. But if they want to, take that next step, you need to find ways to win, even when you're dominating your opponent, when you're not as good as your opponent, whatever the case. And they're not doing it right now.
Yeah, and you look ahead, I don't know. I agree with you because after that win at home against the Patriots, everyone jumped on this train. But you look at them now, they're sitting at 4-4. Patriots are back on top again at 5-2. You start to think, well, maybe this team was a little overhyped. We'll see. We'll see when they play the Patriots again, and we'll see how they're doing the rest of the AFC East going down the stretch.
By doing so, Mark Sanchez, a nice rebound from the last two weeks. Got a little confidence against the Raiders last week, but I thought he played really well. Finding Dusty Keller, I think that opens up a lot down the seam. And with Braylon Edwards down the field, Cotchery when he's in, that's a nice group of receivers he can throw to. So I thought he did a nice job yesterday.
And I think Keller is huge. You remember last year with Favre was there. That was his guy. He's a Chris Cooley type of guy. He's a guy that can use an H-back. You can put a tight end, and he can win matchups against linebackers and safeties all day. Mm-hmm. Get him involved. You know, what about the Birds, Wes? You know, I picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl in the preseason. I'm just going to throw that out there because they're hot.
I thought it was the Chargers. Oh, you got it. Okay. Yeah, I got
Eagles and the Chargers. Okay. We're not talking about San Diego for a while, but, you know, that was a great performance. And you look at this Philadelphia football team, I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to rely on the big play. And I keep saying that, though, but they keep getting them. I mean, let's take away the Raiders game. That was a game that happens in this league. Sometimes you don't play well. But right now, man, they are tough, man. Their defense is attacking. Eli Manning struggled again against a defense that gave him a lot of multiple looks, a shut down the passing game. And you look at the Eagles on offense without Brian West, they still were able to run the ball. They're still able to get big plays. And right now, McNabb's playing great. We have to talk about West at 5-2.
Yeah, and I struggle. What is this Eagles team? Like, I don't know how good they are, how bad they are, things like that. But the one thing I learned yesterday, when their offensive line plays well, this Eagles team's pretty much unstoppable to beat. When Jason Peters, Winston Justice, when they're holding down the right and left side and they give McNabb time in the pocket, they have the vertical threats and DeSean Jackson, Macklin, and then Avant's work in the slot to make plays down the field. You know the offense or the defense is going to force turnovers. They're going to give the offense some short yarded situations. So when they block up front, I think they're really tough to beat. As for the Giants, offensively, I don't think they have that vertical threat that can get down the field. Steve Smith, he's more that underneath guy that runs good routes, can create separation, but he doesn't consistently get down the field. Boss yesterday had a nice job working the seams, but Nix, he's not that big-time vertical threat. Hickson hasn't stepped up. Higgins hasn't stepped up. And Manning hasn't been real decisive in the face of pressure. So I think we're going to see the Giants get back to trying to run the ball with that two-headed monster more consistently, because if they're asked to Eli just throw down and down out, they've struggled to make plays.
Yeah, and I think the loss of Kenny Phillips early in the season was a lot bigger than people thought at the time. It was kind of glossed over because the Giants were beating everyone's butt. But losing Kenny Phillips in that secondary was big, because you talk about the best secondaries. You know, you talk about Pittsburgh, you got Polamalu. You talk about playmaking secondaries like Baltimore, they have Ed Reed. You got to have that guy in the middle who can converge on the ball, can tackle well in the open field and make plays, and they're missing him.
I want to say, Matt, I like what the Eagles did defensively with Witherspoon, bringing him in through the trade, and then Akeem Jordan at weak side linebacker. They added a lot of speed to the linebacking core. And as our own Mike Lombardi always says, when your middle linebacker's fast, your whole defense looks fast. And I think with the upgrade with Witherspoon, Akeem Jordan on the weak side, they really improved the speed of their defense.
Yeah, and they can get after the ball. They get off the ball so fast. They're a fun team to watch right now. They're an exciting team. Yeah. I don't know how much time we're going to spend on Jamarcus Russell again, Wes, but the guy's delusional. You read his quotes today, and he said he thought he played pretty good. Come on, Jamarcus. He had a chance to bring your team back. He didn't do it. Quarterbacks are paid a lot of money like you are to win football games, not to think you played good by throwing for what did he throw for, 109 yards? come on, man. Come on, Wes. Now, you know, San Diego, like I said, they are our Super Bowl pick to play the Eagles. These last 2 weeks don't really count. Kansas City win, Oakland win. We'll see what they do now. I think they got the Giants. They go to the Giants this week. They got Philly at home. Then they go back for the rematch against the Broncos. These next three games are going to decide their season. But, you know, just I don't want to stay on Oakland that much, Wes, but this kid's killing me. Mr. Marcus Russell's killing me.
Yeah, and we're not going to jump on the Chargers bandwagon already, considering three of their first four wins this year are only wins. Two are against the Raiders and one are against the Chiefs. So it's nothing right. to get too excited about. But Russell, give me a break. 14 for 22. The guy completed, I think, only two passes to wide receivers yesterday. They're all check downs. He's just finding the tight end. Running backs out of the backfield. Fargus Bush had five catches yesterday combined. Zach Miller had five catches. I mean, we did get a Darius Hayward base sighting. He had one catch yesterday. Yeah. But the offense is anemic. J-Rock struggles to decipher information. No feel in the pocket. And the biggest asset he had coming out of the draft was his ability to throw the deep ball. The Raiders, their long pass yesterday was 15 yards. They don't create plays down the field. And J-Rock, I agree, he's delusional. If he wasn't paid all that money, there's no way he'd be playing in the NFL right now, especially starting for the Raiders.
That's a great way to close them out. Let's move on.
Yep, well said.
Tennessee, Vince Young gets the start. But let's be honest here. Vince Young was good, but Kerry Collins would have won that game too yesterday when you have Chris Johnson going off like he did. I'll tell you what, there's no one faster in this league in pads. I'm talking pads on Sunday than Chris Johnson. This guy gets to the second level so fast, and it's so easy for him to split defenders. It looks like he's, you know, running hundreds for conditioning practice almost. I mean, he's that good when he gets a little creasing to get up the field. You know, I'm pretty sure that we could speculate that, you know, putting Vince Young in the lineup did charge his team up a little bit. Their secondary did make a couple plays. You know, and if you're talking about Jacksonville, what you have to do this offseason is build a team around Maurice Jones-Drew. Guy's a stud. He's your only playmaker. Build a team around him. Get some threats that can run down the field at wide receiver. But make this team about him because he is that good.
Yeah, and like we've talked about with the Ravens so far, I know you're playing from behind. But when he only has eight runs in the entire game, Maurice Jones-Drew were talking about, for 177 yards, two touchdowns, and he only has, I think, what, one catch yesterday? Yeah, one catch for negative 4 yards. How does the guy end up with that many yards and you don't consistently get the ball into his hands more? I look at the game plan. You can't. Why would you want to put the ball in David Garrard's hand consistently? He threw two picks yesterday. Sure, Vince Young came in, rallied the troops a bit, but that's a dysfunctional offense right now in Jacksonville. I don't think they know what they want to do. They want to get the ball into Maurice Jones-Drew's hands, but they don't know how to do it. When they're playing from behind, they struggle. And, you know, two teams that aren't going to make the postseason this year, so right. I'm done with them.
Yeah, let's move on.
All right.
I'll tell you what, Arizona, how can you go into Meadowlands last week and play such a physical style of football, beat the Giants at home, and then get thrashed at your own stadium by Carolina? And that was just – that's who the Panthers are right now. I know Steve Smith had a big play, but, you know, DeLone throws for 90 yards again. I mean, he's not the guy. We know that. But they run for, what, about 270? And Kurt Warner has one of those games. I'm telling you, Wes, he's good for one or two of those a year where he is just so bad. And when he's good, he is great. But when he is bad, he is awful.
Yeah, you look at the commitment to the run game that the Panthers had. If they're going to have any chances here to stay in ball games, they need to give Williams 25 touches, Stewart 15 touches, and then hope they can hit the deep play with Steve Smith. But as we said, time and time again, when the Cardinals don't want to run the football, when Beanie Wells has under 10 carries, when Hightower is under 10 carries, and you're allowed to just pin your ears back as a defensive line and bring pressure on Kurt Warner, he's going to have to get rid of the ball before he wants to. And his five interceptions yesterday, I mean, that was a joke. It honestly was, and they're not going to win many games if they don't run the football more efficiently.
No, they're not going to beat the Niners. That's just how it's going to be. That's a two-team race. We know the Rams are out of it in Seattle. It's just not good enough. So we'll see how that plays out. But those games from Kurt, they just make you shake your head because he's so good. And to have games like that, you just wonder what's going on. You know, the final game of the day, Wes, we know how much hype was involved in this. Brett's return to Green Bay, the guy was awesome. I thought Aaron Rodgers had a very good game, too, when he started to step up into the pocket and allow him to make some plays. You know, but Packer fans are going to be upset, and I understand that will happen in a high-drama game like this. But look at it this way. You know, Aaron Rodgers did hold the ball at times, but the luxury the Vikings have is they could rush four and drop seven. And those deep dig routes, those deep comebacks, that stuff doesn't work against cover two when you got seven guys dropping into coverage. And right now that's just how it is because Aaron Rodgers, every time he drops back against that Vikings team, is at a risk. Because it's just open the floodgates and let's go get them. The Green Bay is not tough enough up front. And we saw on the other side of the ball, You know, Adrian Peterson running in the secondary. Guys didn't look like they wanted to tackle him, I'll be honest. Guys were shying away from contact against that guy. They're getting blown off the ball. It was clear. Brett Favre was great yesterday. Aaron Rodgers was very good in the second half. But Minnesota's just a better team.
Yeah, more talented. And the front, like you said, the front four, when they can pin their ears back, no one can block Jared Allen. They can do whatever they want. The guy, I think, has 8 sacks in the 2 games they've played so far this year. And when they allow Edwards on the other side one-on-one, he has the ability to beat the opposing tackle. He had 2 sacks yesterday, just consistently forcing pressure with only 4 guys. Once, like you said, Aaron Rodgers was able to start stepping up in the pocket, was able to make some plays, but took him too long to get into the game. Brett Favre, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 17 for 28. Really impressive performance by him. And was that the greatest performance you've ever seen, Matt, from a 40-year-old quarterback? I mean, that has to be one of the best.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Unbelievable. On the road, yeah. In that environment, you know, at Lambeau, coming back to Lambeau. I mean, he was great. But also give some credit to Percy Harvin, that defense.
Yeah. I mean,
when Favre gets to start with the ball on the plus 50 side of the football field, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't give a quarterback like Favre that many chances with that good of field position. I'll tell you what, Percy Harvin, that he's running away with that Rookie of the Year award. The guy's special, man.
Yeah.
He can make plays in the passing game, and he's awesome on kick returns.
Yeah, and I look at the rushing attack. Sure, Adrian Peterson didn't have that huge day yesterday, but he got 25 carries. You look at the Packers side, Ryan Grant, only 10 carries. John Kuhn had 2. Ahmad Green had 2. I mean, you have to have balance, especially going against a front four like the Vikings, and the Packers, just their game plan wasn't efficient enough yesterday versus the Vikings.
Yeah, and you start to question the head coach because they came out really flat. I mean, they played really flat, timid, cautious football. You can't do that in a big game.
No.
Especially, on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, how are you not hyped up against Brett Favre coming into your own place? I mean, I don't know. The coaching staff.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good day. And you think about it as that Green Bay wins that game, they're back in the division race. Now that they've lost, they're just lumped into that wild card chase. Can they do it? I don't know. You know, they're done with Minnesota, swept by the Vikings. They're still going to play the Bears again. You know, they're not much different than Chicago West, really. I mean, they're struggling up front.
Mm-hmm.
They can't run the ball, and they're relying on the quarterback to bail them out. Sooner or later, one of those two teams is going to have to figure out that running the football in the NFC North is really how you win, and it might be too late to do that. I don't know. We'll see. But a tough day. I couldn't imagine being up in Green Bay, Wisconsin right now, and this morning it'd be tough. You know, let's take a quick peek at the Monday night game like I always do, Wes. You know, New Orleans hosting Atlanta. The spread is huge. It's like 11-point spread. I think that's too much. But, you know, you look at Atlanta right now. We talked about it the last couple of weeks. Michael Turner doesn't look that explosive getting to the hole anymore. And when that happens and then Falcons don't have that running game like they did last year, you know, everything falls in the lap of Matty Ice. Matty Ice is great. The best up-and-coming quarterbacks in the league, but he's still young. He's still prone to make some mistakes, and he needs some help, just kind of the theme we've been talking about today.
Yeah, he's not a guy that can get in a shootout and beat Drew Brees. There's only one quarterback in the NFL, and that's Peyton Manning, that can go throw for throw with Drew Brees an entire game and lead his team to a victory. So I like the Saints to get a lot of points on the board early, force the Falcons to try to come from behind. And I think they'll put up some points against the Saints tonight, but we've seen the Saints' ability on defense, Greg Williams dialing up a lot of pressure, forcing turnovers. I think this game gets out of hand late in the game, but I think it'll be a shootout early.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with everything you're saying. And I think you give Greg Williams an extra day of preparation, an extra day of film study for these players. He'll have some new pressure schemes tonight, and he'll use Sharper like he's used them all year. Darren Sharper's been playing great. Talked about him on our podcast last week. I mean, I know he plays defense, but you got to talk about him as MVP candidate. He's got 6 picks this season. I mean, they play those combo coverages down in New Orleans, and they could trap receivers. Now, allow Sharper, a guy who just has great ball instincts, driving the football from the inside out. So I'm taking the Saints as well. And I think this win by New Orleans pretty much locks up that division. Then we start talking about down the stretch who's going to get home field, stuff like that. But the Saints are for real. They're as real as they come. Best team in the league right now.
All right, let's get to it, Matt. Come on.
Real quick. You know, I don't want to gloat. I don't. But I was a little worried about the Hawks the other day when they're down 21-7 at the half.
Worried? I was getting texts saying it's over. It's over.
No. Stop making up these lies, Wes.
Yeah, I got my phone right here. Let me check it out.
No, we're not going to go there. But I give credit to the Hawks, even though they get jumped by Oregon, of course. But, I mean, it's a 17.5-point spread, and they cover the spread, and they win at home. You know, 9-0 is 9-0, Wes. That's all I'm going to say. Got Northwestern coming to town next week before we go to the Horseshoe. So take care of business next week and see where this football team can go. That's all we got for today, folks. Big win by Minnesota and Brett Favre. Big win by Donovan McNabb and Philly. A lot of action. My Texans are still alive. But we'll talk to you next week. We're out.